Whoa.
How are you doing today? Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for welcoming me to the show that I share
with you. Your own podcast.
I appreciate that.
Welcome
It's in. Very polite.
How was, let me ask you a question that I already know the answer to. How was your weekend? What'd you do?
I'm recovering. And it's still staying with me until I can free myself.
Yes.
So you and I got together and had a much needed, long overdue evening of getting all the prints signed and packed up. Those hit the streets yesterday in a mailbox soon near
hit the
you
bricks.
On the way. And we did it all.
Kick rocks with open-toed shoes, if you will.
Oh, my God. And so we we planned this out before we even started this weekend. We had a little Airbnb full of crosses.
Yeah.
But very cute little house.
Did I tell you they bitched at me?
Did they?
So after you leave an Airbnb, you can give your little review and they can review you too. So you have a stayer profile or whatever. And I don't know if there's a star rating. It doesn't let me see that, but I can see what they wrote. And they were like, house was left in good condition, but they left on every lot and the thermostat. And listen, the light thing is on me because you did leave first. And I just kind of rolled out of bed and left. And I wrote them. I was just like, hey, my bad. Sorry about the lights. I said, but the thermostat thing, I said, in your notes, you said to set the thermostat to like 57. When you leave. And I was like, I didn't think that's what you meant.
Y'all would want that.
57 degrees
like
Fahrenheit.
Like that would sound expensive.
I said, I left it at 70 so that you wouldn't have to like recool the whole house down, but also that's reasonable, you know, 70.
57 degrees? That sounds like the most expensive electrical bill I've ever heard of in my life.
They wrote me back and they were just like, I don't know what you're talking about. Where did you see this? What paper are you referring to? So I screenshotted their little about section when it's like, when you leave, do all this. I screenshotted it. I sent it to them. I was like, right there. And they were like, oh, well, that's
right here.
That's my bad. But like, they were
it is your fucking
aggressive.
Bad. You know what? That makes me glad that we sullied that room with Naked Attraction, Farmer Wants a Wife, and Love is Blind in a mad dash binge fest of brain rotting reality TV. Living room saw more dicks than it ever has.
Oh, absolutely. That living room has never seen a wiener in its life. And we saw many wieners.
We saw many different kinds and shapes and sizes and cuts and no cuts. And it was very interesting.
It was great. It was great to see bodies, you know. That was not the one that rocked me. Although I will say the guy who played guitar and sang wasn't Wonderwall, but what did he sing?
One that you cannot, the girl called him
Africa.
Out so good and being like, why did you play a song? Yeah, that's like very, and the way that he did it is the way that like nobody could really dance to.
I bless the rains down in Africa.
Oh my God.
And just
else,
wanted
that
naked girls to dance
else.
In front. Anyway, that was rough. I was surprised. Okay, listen. We're going to get to the podcast soon. If you're new here, just skip forward a little bit. So sorry.
We're going to have to really limit ourselves with this because this isn't even simp cap territory.
No, we're just
going to have to confess to the world we started it. We did it finally.
We finally
opened the door.
Thoroughly bored by Farmer. I just didn't really get
checked
into
out.
It.
We checked out by episode two. We were done.
We were signing prints. It was on in the background and occasionally we'd pipe up, you know, but the real star of the evening. The real golden nugget here, I would say, was Love is Blind. And at one point...
Love is Blind, dude.
Dude, you wrapped it up perfectly. At one point, you looked over at me from your cringe blanket, and you said, You said, I hate how invested I am in this.
I'm entertained. I was entertained through and through. And when I started to get bored, they pulled the fucking rug out from under
That's the thing.
And
just around the point where I'm like,
oh
I could probably go to bed. They throw something at
me. Boom. Serious.
And it happened
shit
like two or three times.
And I'm almost.
But.
Yes. Every time. And I'm almost through with it. I've got 2.5 episodes left. I just want to be done so I can go see how they're all getting roasted on Reddit. That's all I want to do. Yeah. I just want to get there. And I'm so close. Yeah. And I'm so mad. And I hate everyone. I hate these people.
I.
Not all of them. Most of them.
I'm finished with it. And I've watched the reunion. And I will say, after the reunion, I have no trust in anyone in the whole world. There's just one thing that happens.
Ever again.
That...
You, you're not the first person to allude to this. And I'm very curious. I was at the studio today and, one of the other teachers at the studio said all that she would tell me, she was like, all I know is before the next season, they need to vet people better. And I was like, what? And mm-hmm. so that's all that I know. And I'm dying.
Oh, you're gonna fucking die. Anyway, just let me know when you're done with it.
Tonight, either I'm gonna have to. We'll talk about it later. Finish it. We're done. No more Love is Blind.
Oh, okay.
But it got us. It fucking hooked us.
It sucked.
Mad about it. I've been thinking about it all day, and these stupid fucking people.
Dude, I feel like I had a dream about Clay. I feel like I had a dream about Clay, and I feel like I told him that he looked like Lil Nas X to me. Anyway, because he's always got like that like necklace on, and I just feel like he has the same haircut and everything. And Clay with his big blinky eyeballs. Anyway, we're done. This is the Witch
I'm glad that you told. I'm glad you told him that in the dream. And yeah. Yes, we are putting Love is Blind in a box and shoving that box deep under the bed for the foreseeable future. Bottle as we talk about as magic tight
as we can, and pretend it's not just Rayback here in our heads. So what
it's
are we
just not? Yeah, taking up all of our processing power
today.
So. I wanted to be timely. Mm. I wanted to bring like elementary school teacher vibes today. And I wanted to talk about the solar eclipse.
Ooh.
And just kind of a little bit of it. Listen, it's a smattering. It's a little bit of eclipse facts. It's a little bit of eclipse magic. Mm. It's just kind of a grab bag of eclipse today. Just talking about eclipse stuff.
Great.
Because it's coming up on Monday. Big chunk of the country is going to see it.
We are, for
sure. We would be seeing it. Well, we are. So here's the thing. It is like, it is comical how on top of my house it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Like we are in this, we get like 4.5 minutes of darkness. Yeah, like we are in, but I think it's going to be pissing rain. I think it's pissing rain all day long. Mm. Yeah. So I'm like already resigning myself to that.
Like, it'll still go dark.
It'll still go dark, which is pretty cool, you know, and for a while. And so I wanted to talk about that because there's all kinds of weird shit that happens during eclipses, from animal activity and all this other stuff.
Yeah,
so
animals like, get basically freaked out, right? They're like...
They get a little weirded out, yeah. And so today was essentially me answering my own questions about eclipses for you guys.
Good. I kind of...
Yeah.
Similar vein here. You know, I'm half talking to you. I'm half looking at the weather. Okay.
Yeah, it's getting better. It was initially going to be like pissing overcast all day, and now they're like partly sun, partly
rain. It seems like it's
so
partly.
Maybe it'll work its way out. Might walk it back. We still got time.
I am also talking about something that I feel like is pretty I see it referred to, I see it talked about in all kinds of witchcraft and paganism textbooks, I guess, for lack of a better term, reference books, pretty early on, and we've just not really talked about it. And I've always been interested in it. I've incorporated it somewhat into spells before, but I wanted to just answer my own questions and just do a little tiny deep dot, well, I don't want to say deep, I'll say a wide swath on the topic of like directional, like the cardinal directions, north, south, east, and west, maybe center we'll touch on a little bit, and just like what that's all about, what they stand for, how can you incorporate that, should you wish, into your practice. There you go.
Sweet. I think you go first, because I think I brought us back down to earth. I thought I ended with celery last week.
Yeah. So you go first this time.
Oh, yeah, I do. That, I'm answering my own question. this is why I'm drinking a cup of coffee right now. It's 3:47 in the afternoon.
You're having a cup of quaff?
I am having an afternoon coffee. We've got our live here later.
Yes.
So I've got to get juiced up. I've got to get juiced and beefed to get ready for our live. Yeah.
Juiced and beefed.
Get juiced and beefed. Got to get ready. Yeah.
Let's kick off this episode 293.
That's too many.
We quit right
in
now.
In my opinion. That's too many episodes. You know what? We've done enough.
We're done. We've covered the entire topic.
300. Almost 300.
Almost 300.
That makes me want to vom. That
I think
is
300
crazy
is a spooky soap to too. Like, I think it, but we might, I don't know. We'll
figure we got to do something cool for that, dude. Oh, we got to do,
it
I didn't know that.
Cut your voice
we
out,
need to do something
and
cool
all I saw was you throw your head back and just
shout into
yeah,
the
no,
heavens.
We're going to have some kind of, you know what we should do that we haven't done in a while? And this is no promises here, but you know what we should do? I'm just thinking top of the dome. We should give away. I haven't done one of those motherfuckers in a long time.
How many, what episode are we on right now?
293.
Okay, so we got six weeks.
We got some time. Yeah, we can throw some together. Listen, okay, if you're interested in being involved in that giveaway, if you want, you know,
yeah,
if anyone makes it, if you want to donate something.
You want to make some cool shit and we'll rep the hell out of it and talk about it. Cool. Yeah. Shoot us an email. I'm
Did you just say we were going to rip on people's things. We're going to rip the
no,
shit out
we're going to rep it. We're going to rep it. We're going to talk about it. Yeah,
we're going to fucking roast
send
you.
Send us your stuff for a giveaway and we're going to just dismantle everything about it in front of everybody. We're going to just say how much we hate it.
Look
and then we're going to give
it
away.
Piece of shit. Who wants this
shit? No, we'll be very happy for anyone who wants to participate. But that's going to develop in real time.
Is going to be happy, maybe. The receiver of this episode. Episode 200, what did I say?
Of course.
293. This episode 93. Belongs to, 293, belongs to one Becky S. But also kind of Becky SV, because it's one of those names where it's like, it's like a three name thing. So you choose Becky S or Becky SV. Technically, if you want to get real technical, it could also, well, I won't go too far into that. I could be, don't want to dox anyone, but.
Okay, so that's a lot of options. Okay. All right. I'm trying to think. I just got back to my house and mom and me were in the car.
Okay.
And I'm trying to think of how to stick it.
It was probably Phil Collins. I know how much she loves Phil Collins.
Song. It was definitely not Phil Collins. She would be not into it. Let me think here. It was, what was it? Becky SV. Yeah.
Becky SV. Becky.
Okay. It's not going to be very dynamic, but it's in my head. I hear your name, Becky SV, and it always makes me smile. And then it was I ain't missing you at all.
Oh.
I ain't missing you. Since you, what is it? Since you've
been gone, missing
away.
You.
Yeah,
I ain't missing you.
That's what I got. It's fresh on the dome.
I love that our Patreon, who pays our bills and keeps our lights on, keeps
the
show
say
going.
We're not missing you. We would actually miss you quite a bit. Quite a bit.
All right,
Macy. There's an 80s gem for you.
We need to hear about this eclipse that's happening. Now,
sure. I'm going to.
Sure.
Sure.
Sure. Now, this is a hemispheral thing. Yeah. I'm assuming if you are perhaps in Australia or Japan.
Well, it's just a certain path, really, that it is going down.
Sure, but I mean, you're not really, there's...
Well, if you're in Australia, you won't see shit, because it's
what
only
I'm saying.
Crossing North America.
But it's still happening.
But it's not a hemisphere, it's only crossing, it's just to a certain geographical
area. Okay, well, what I meant was, is there's going to be parts of...
Yes, not everyone's going to see this.
Right.
And then some people are going to see this real well.
Yeah.
So it's just
unless
depending
it's
on
rain.
Where you happen to be. Unless it's pissing rain, you're not going to see dick shit, or you're way, way outside of the zone where you can see anything at all.
Yeah, you're like in Washington.
Yeah, because that's way out of the way. Yeah. And so the duration of totality for this eclipse in certain parts is going to be up to 4.5 minutes long. So you can get a good long stint. Now, that's not the case for everywhere, even in the zone of totality, but that's the maximum time.
Do you have your glasses?
I do have my glasses.
I don't have mine yet.
That is,
and I also don't trust them.
Double, That is double. They're fine. That is double the size of the Great American Eclipse of August 21st, 2017. So that's the one. Do you remember Russ? They went and road tripped out and saw one. So that was in 2017.
I went, man.
You went too?
Oh, yeah, brother.
Oh, I didn't realize you've seen one before.
Yeah, Russ asked me like the day before. He's like, spur of the moment.
You know what? That rings a bell. I remember that. I remember that. Yeah. And so that one ran from, I believe it was like Oregon or Washington to South Carolina. It crossed the country that
way. Yeah, we stayed in Branson and everything.
That's what I thought. Y'all went to Missouri. And so that one was witnessed by about 20 million people. And this one is suspected to be witnessed by more because it is also going through, really such a populated path that it is running through across the country. And in the U.S., it seems that a totality will begin at 1:27 p.m. Central and end in, and that's in Texas. So in Texas, it'll begin at 1:27 p.m. Central and end at Maine at 3:35 Eastern. So listen, don't trust it. Look up your times for your own self. I don't want to be responsible for that, but that's kind of, and April 8th. It's going on April 8th. It's coming to Monday. So what is going on with an eclipse? Like, how do they happen? What is going on structurally?
Natural.
And why do some areas get a really good view and some areas don't get shit?
How does gravity work? How does the sun work?
How does anything work? How does space work?
And time work?
I don't know. And a solar eclipse. So here's the thing. So basic stuff that pretty much everybody knows. A solar eclipse occurs when the moon passes between the sun and the earth, and it casts its shadow on the earth. But the shadow consists of two separate cones here, shadows that we're working with. Moon passes to, boom, 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 and it's got to line up right in front, smack dab. And so the moon then is going to cast two shadows. So here's your moon, right? And the sun is this lamp. See this?
Okay.
So this lampshade is the sun, right?
All right.
So here's the moon.
And your head is the earth.
There's,
right? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, okay. There we go. So you Patreon viewers are getting some extra context here. So here we go. So there are going to be two shadows that happen. So there's a shadow that's going to come from the edges of the moon like this, widening out into a bigger cone.
Right, right. Boom. Sort of widening like if you're holding a flashlight and it kind of puts the cone
It beams out, right? So that is called the penumbra shadow. Okay. And there's two shadows, one with a similar name. So the other shadow is the more center shadow. And it starts on the edges of the moon and points to a pinpoint location.
Okay.
And this is your zone of totality.
Okay.
This is the strip of the eclipse that is like dead on bulls accurate. It's super. So, but that's called the umbra shadow. So there's two different shadows going on. Your umbra is the pinpointed, and the penumbra is the larger
penumbra,
the larger shadow.
I want to get a cat and name it Penumbra.
It's really nice. Penumbra. Yeah, I like it. Yeah. It reminds me of Umbreon and Espeon. Espeon, the Pokemon. I don't remember. Umbreon.
It reminds me of the bitch Harry Potter lady, Umbridge.
Oh, yeah. That bitch. The narrow umbra shadow it's generally only as wide at most as about 50 miles. That's how narrow of an area that zone of totality is. It's 50 miles. And so the penumbra shadow can be much larger, 1,000 or so miles wide, depending. So that's your bigger area that are going to see something, but you're not going to like see the corona. You're not going to like see the whole
corona
and corona. And I bet people are going to do that. You know what? Throw you down with a cooler or some Ronas. And
some people will probably catch
great big corona in the sky. Yeah. Just all right there close.
Do you remember when everyone was calling it the coronavirus? I just feel like we haven't heard that in a while. I feel like it's COVID now.
It's a lot. Yeah, we've grown.
We've grown as a people. But corona? Remember that? Okay.
And so people who are within the narrower strip, the narrower shadow, the umbra shadow, are the ones that see the sun completely blocked. Within the larger shadow, you see partial blockage. You'll still see some weird activity, but you're not going to get the full effect of the darkness and then the corona that pops into place right when everything slides in front.
Cool.
God, I want to see it so bad. I've wanted to see a solar eclipse my entire life since I was a kid.
Have you never seen one?
I'm really hoping we don't have... No, I've never seen one.
Really?
I've seen partials, but like... I've been waiting. I've known this eclipse was coming for 6 years.
Yeah.
Like, I've been waiting for this, and I'm just really, really, because it's literally, it is passing over our house.
Right.
It's not like we're kind of
Don't triangulate yourself right now, Macy.
We are the zone. Hey, yeah. It's a big area. It's 50 miles. But like, we're in it, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I'm just really hoping that this works. And anyway, so a little bit of info here. I'm hoping it will. Yeah. And so solar eclipses only occur during a new moon. And also when the sun and the moon are aligned at the same on the same side of the earth. And so when the moon is in the daytime sky. When the moon is in the daytime sky, it's a new moon. And so it's all, a few things have to happen. But that doesn't mean it happens or can happen every new moon, because things got to line up just right here. And there's only a couple of times a year that it can, which is your eclipse seasons, in which the stars can align just right and you can get an eclipse to happen, I guess.
The stars can do it today.
Today. And so we're being presented with a very thick opportunity coming this Monday. And it's the result of cosmic coincidence, the fact that we have eclipses. It's pretty amazing because even though the sun is about 400 times bigger than the moon, it is also about 400 times further away. So it just so happens, nice and just perfect, that they're just the right size for this effect to happen. And this makes the sun and the moon appear just about the same size in our sky. And during a total solar eclipse, the moon, as we know, moves directly in front of the sun, and it covers the disk, right? Just the sun's disk. So it covers that on up. And this allows observers in the center, in the zone of totality, to very briefly see the sun's outer atmosphere that we normally cannot see. We can only see it when it's covered up like this by the moon, and that is the corona, which is the ghostly white beaming shit coming from the sun when totality happens.
And you go, that's there all the so time? Jealous spooky. Of.
Shit. Yeah, that's what we're getting irradiated with. That's what's blasting our technology all the time.
So it's blasting into your skin.
It's just, just getting us. And so, now placement of these celestial bodies also matters a lot because their orbits aren't perfect circles, right? So planets don't go circles. You've seen it. They're just kind of doing their elliptical kind of motion. Yeah. And so because of that, sometimes the moon is kind of far away. It's in its far away position, which I believe is called apogee. And so when the moon is like furthest away from us, you can still apparently have an eclipse that happens. And you get what's called an annular eclipse. And so it seems like it still happens, but the moon is smaller than the sun. So instead of the corona, you get like a lazy orange ring kind of around it, kind of hazy looking.
It looks like a butthole, and that's why they call it annular.
Yes. You know what? Yes, that is the textbook reason as to why they called it that. And so that's not what's happening this time, though, because we're getting that full-on total solar eclipse. And another phenomenon that you might not have heard about, I had never heard about, that you might witness, especially if you're in the zone of totality, is shadow bands, or sometimes called shadow snakes, which is hysterical.
I remember. I don't remember if we actually saw any in the eclipse, but I remember sitting around and like just waiting for the eclipse to happen. Like as you can see it getting closer and everyone's getting excited. I remember one of us looking up on our phone and learning about shadow snakes and being like, we're gonna see some shadow snakes. I don't remember if we did or not. Oh my God, I love these.
So shadow bands or shadow snakes.
Shadow snake.
Are unfortunate. So they're very hard to capture on film. So that's one thing. If you try to like find videos of them, it's very, even like videos that were like great footage of shadow bands, I'm like,
it's still kind
of
like,
I you know, I'd watch them a couple times. Yeah. And you could just kind of tell that they're being lost. But they're a pretty interesting phenomenon, apparently, to witness in person, but they generally are happening during the last percentages of light. So really, as the moon is just about covering that sun all the way up and things are getting dimmer and dimmer and dimmer, this phenomenon can happen. And apparently it looks like these hazy, mysterious, just like line shadows that streak across the ground and just kind of, you can see them better. Apparently, I know some people will put a white sheet down to try to catch them. So it seems paler ground right. might can catch them
and
a
you,
little
easier. And you are seeing these on the ground, not like looking up at the, it's not like around
no,
the
yeah,
sun.
No, yeah, they're like wispy yeah. on the ground.
Yeah, like ghosts.
And so they're happening just before the full on coverage. And so there was a whole bunch of other explanations here. And so today's grab bag episode, I didn't afford myself any opportunities to dive in deep anywhere. So I grabbed what NASA said was the most probable explanation as to these things.
I think love it when they're like, source. We think.
They think it, well, the most likely thing is that it seems to be more of a meteorological. That's one I always struggle with. Meteorological.
Meteorite.
Effect produced by it seems to come from our atmosphere. It is a result of our atmosphere. So the last of the sun's rays
do love to live.
They all live there, somehow don't burn up.
Till they and come up through your toilet these, and bite your butt.
And bite right on your butthole. It can happen.
Your butt's and hole. It's inviting.
I'm going to talk to you about the rays of the fucking sun.
Okay.
So I don't really understand how this works, but it seems that these weak little brittle little sun's rays that are kind of just thin wispies, they get distorted by the turbulent atmosphere, the Earth's turbulent. I didn't realize we had a turbulent atmosphere, but we do.
You ever and been in an same, airplane?
I want. Is that why? Is that what it means? Is that why it's called turbulence? That would make sense.
I mean,
this is the same phenomenon that makes stars twinkle as well. So it diffuses the light and makes stars kind of have that twinkly effect, apparently. So that is the guess as to what's going on here is that our atmosphere is distorting the lights. And so during a solar eclipse, the sun's disk, it is reduced to kind of a very narrow, like filaments of light. And so that apparently it's the same. It's the same kind of effect that these shadow bands, not band, not social media.
I'm shadow band.
Shadow bands. they might be the net result of light coming through and getting distorted in that way. Pretty much. So what's going on if there's clouds? Well, unfortunately, seemingly not nearly as much. Not a whole lot, really. In an unobstructed clear view, you're in full sun. There's no coverage whatsoever. In a clear view, you'll start seeing the sun get partially covered and then more so and more so and more so as it slides over into the front. And then the corona bursts into view and then it starts to inch its way on out of there. Now, on a cloudy day, apparently, it's just going to get darker. Which isn't the worst thing. I mean, that's still pretty cool
still
that it's
cool.
going to get like suddenly dark in the afternoon or in lunchtime,
that's
pretty
neat.
Much. But it's definitely different than being able to see the phenomenon in full, as well as see the stars, apparently, which in some places with good atmospheric conditions, the stars can even come out for a second and you can see them, which sounds fucking crazy. So we'll just have to see. We'll have to see what happens here at our place. But something I wanted to look up was the animal thing. Why do animals get weird? And it really, my guess is kind of we're right. It makes a lot of sense as to why many do. And there's a bunch of proposed different reasons for it that they can act a certain way when these go down. So one, places that are in the zone of totality can drop temperature really quickly. So apparently the temperature can drop pretty quickly and they're going to notice that far more than we will. Animals will. Mm-hmm. And
I mean, it's not like they have news sources blasting this is going to happen. They're just sort of like my internal clock, you know, my pressure.
That's the thing. They're
What's
so
wrong?
Plugged in.
Right.
They're so plugged into the rhythm of the world. And this is a very confusing thing for them to have to process. It throws a whole wrench in their clock.
They're like, I know the sun goes down at nighttime, but what's
nighttime? Yeah. And they know it's not They know it's not right. Exactly. And so all of a sudden in the middle of the day, not only is it cooler, depending on atmospheric conditions, if they really can plummet, but it's the middle of the day and it's kind of twilight dark all of a sudden. And they're going to have to figure that out.
Twilight dark.
Oahoa season. And it doesn't affect all animals the same way. Some are all a little different depending on how they handle it, or if they're already kind of like crepuscular animals, or if they're not. But it's very difficult to study. This is very, very difficult to study because eclipses don't happen in any sort of regularity that's really repeatable. So it's not like you can study the same eclipse path twice. Mm. It's only going to happen once in the same general area erratically, not even in a set schedule. So it's not like this path is going to repeat even in a decade. It's just not going to happen again. So the data that you can get, you can coordinate and get a lot during that experience, but it's difficult to compare it in a replicating way, which is nice to use with data. So it makes them very interesting to study in that way. So apparently zoos are a very large source of study. And there are different programs and projects that coordinate with zoos to monitor and study different animals and how they process the eclipse when it goes down, solar eclipses, wherever they are, as they go down. And many do things that you would expect. They start their bedtime routines. They kind of start acting like they're going to bed. Like there was one report I saw of giraffes all like taken off running into the barn at the zoo because they're like, oh, it's bedtime. But it's like they got caught by surprise. So they were running into the barn to try to get in there. Insects are affected pretty intensely as they respond to light cues very, very strongly, as well as temperature. There was a recorded example of ants being observed freezing in place until the light came back. Like it just went dark and they stopped moving and then the light came back and they started moving again. Fucking
interesting, brother.
That hive mind is awesome. Weird. It's so wild. And apparently the photosynthesis of plants is highly disrupted. And so like the process will stop when the darkness falls, or it'll like super slow down and then boom, the light comes back and the plant has like shock from this. And it takes them a couple of hours to like calibrate back, apparently, to adjust back.
It's also not like the sun is rising over the horizon and slowly coming back. No, it's not
gradual.
It's a couple of minutes. And yeah, if the sun rose like that in real life, it would be so jarring.
It would. And so the plants basically have like chemical whiplash because it's like a lot going on for them because just a lot of signals are all going on at once. And it's mysterious to us too. It's mysterious to all animals. Like birds will oftentimes like go to their nests. And to us, humans have a long, long, long history of being fascinated with and observing eclipses. And it's just always been that way. Civilizations all across the ancient world wove eclipses into their mythologies. So it wasn't that just that the sun was coming in front of the moon. Like it would be a very intense, like mythological thing playing out that was believed.
Well, yeah, if you don't know, if this is like before the time, I mean, because obviously people have always tracked like the seasons and when the sun.
Yeah, the knowledge was there to track them, but to explain it is tricky.
And depending on how far back you go and how much we knew about what was going on, it could be a, if you didn't know one was happening, you know, and it just started happening. Do you know me having the same brain as I would way back then at 12, thinking the world was about to end? You know how many times I would have just been like, I'm walking into the ocean and letting a shark eat me. Goodbye.
There's got to be something. I've wondered this about myself, especially if we do get like a good clear view of it. And you can attest to this if you experience this. I just wonder if something deep, deep, deep in my primal brain in the middle of it all is going to be like, what if the light doesn't come back on? Like, what if it, you know, but like they had to have thought that. Right. And that's such a scary thing to contemplate that the sun is just done. And I know it's impossible. It's not how it works. But like, what if, so. And that curiosity is still there today. Like, you can buy eclipse merch at Walmart. Like, they started stocking that shit months ago.
Dude, like, a lot. There is so much eclipse stuff out in every store out right now. I went to a little joint with my mom, and it was just, like, one of these little boutique-y places run by, like, you know, a country turquoise-loving lady. Do you hear the people yelling outside of my window?
Mm-mm.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, but they have like handmade shirts that were like Eclipse Ho 2024.
That's fantastic.
I know.
I would buy a shirt that says Eclipse Ho, honestly, any day of the week. So you can see, of course, the Curiosity is still there because of the tourism boom. I mean, all of the schools in this area are closed on that Monday.
Yeah.
Closed down because of the traffic that's worried.
They're like, they're just worried about such an influx. And groceries. Not because it's like catastrophic, but like just because there's going to be an influx of people. It's like you want to make sure you can make a sandwich.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. It's like if you don't be caught unawares, because if you got to go into town, listen, it might take you a long fucking time.
Oh, yeah.
In town. I do hear someone. I think I hear someone in the background. Really? I can't hear words.
But if I were to open this window, I can see somebody. They're working on the facade of the apartment right now. So it just happened. They'll go away soon. But goddamn.
That's a carrying voice. It's like a Rustin voice. He's just carrying.
It was a boogie.
Okay, so let's get into the metaphysical. Let's talk about eclipses and the metaphysical. One, you know what's easy to do? Eclipse water. Make some fucking eclipse water. Put some water in a jar and then make eclipse water out of it. Boom.
Now, I have questions with that. You did it. I have questions with this. So you know when you're making moon water, it is advised, you know, everybody do your own thing how you want to do it, but it is advised to collect said moon water before the sun comes up, therefore making it just sort of like regular water, I guess. I don't know. What are the rules with the eclipse? Do I put it out at the start of the eclipse and then like snatch it back in before the sun comes back, or does it experience the whole thing? What? Those
I feel like
mountains behind your head look like antlers.
Sweet. I don't know, man. I would just probably put it out there at the start of the process and then go get it again when the light has
I guess
fully
anyone
returned.
Can do what
I
would want to do. Full, just...
You can do whatever you want. Just it could be out there for just the minutes of or the, you know, the time of darkness or the whole capture the whole
you
ride
could keep
of it.
Keep it in your jacket breast and just let it peek out at the moment of totality and then cover back up.
Just a little taste. Yeah, just totality water.
Totality water.
And so something I saw suggested, which was pretty interesting, especially if you do this, like really withdrawing your senses in, is having a meditation experience during the eclipse. Now, this takes a lot of discipline because I'm going to want to have to be watching the eclipse.
I'm looking for shadows.
I'm too curious, you know. But like I was like, man, that's actually pretty amazing. Instead, if you go inward and focus on the energy of the eclipse and you experience the eclipse like in a centered meditative state, that's pretty fucking sweet. But I think I'm just gonna be like full on child.
I will say trying
to get as much out of this as I can viewing wise.
When I experienced the one in 17, was that 8 year? Jesus Christ. Anyway, the energy is, and I wasn't quite there yet with this kind of stuff. You know, like I wasn't quite putting things together, at least in the way that I am now with like the words for it and stuff like that. But there was a buzzing and we actually got really lucky because we had pulled over on a part of the road where it was just our group versus everywhere in town, which was like packed with people in parking lots and stuff like that. We just found, and it was just like us, and there were some cows like in a field. And I remember like watching them, like, what are you thinking? And one of them just wouldn't stop, you know. But I do remember there was this childlike burst of energy that you don't expect, I feel like, you know, because you're like, this is going to be so cool. And then it happens. And there is something, I guess, in that deep evolutionary part of your body, and it's not fear, it's just like, this is something I shouldn't be seeing, oh my god, you know. It is a palpable energy that I'm not sure I could like sit still through, but that's like awesome. if you got the discipline, go for it, man.
Yeah, it was just an interesting idea that I saw to give a shot. And in many belief systems, a solar eclipse is considered kind of a magical boost. So, I mean, this is, it's kind of any workings done will maybe have a bit more oomph behind them. This is, it's, I picture it like the pictures of the corona of the sun. You know, I just feel like it's this very just like burst of power that's going on. And I mean, seriously, like, I'm sure. So if you work anywhere or do have had to be around people, you have likely noticed leading up to this eclipse, people have been fucking squirrely AF, man. Like, it has just been very intense. Antsy. I myself have felt that way. I've had a harder time sleeping than normal. And so I feel like it's building up to the moment.
I think we're also still within Mercury retrograde right now.
We are. No, there's like a lot astrologically going on. So we've been like shit hammered a little bit, honestly. And so I feel like the eclipse, like, it's just kind of, this one especially is kind of just like an extra bit of burst going on here.
I feel like it's sort of the culmination of every, even if everything's not aligning at that particular, it is sort of just like the big dick whip of the moment.
It's the
of
big show.
It's the big,
it's
the bloody show.
It's the Zelda, it's the Zelda boss, you know, like we're walking into the room, the doors
and fall
walking behind us and it's the boss.
Do you know what
we
got to
fight
the
fucking Volvagia or whatever that dragon's name is. Volvagia.
You know how we talk about mixing songs together? So yes. Like, you'll start one song and end another song?
Yeah, when your brain just does it. Yeah.
Do you remember the Austin Powers?
Yes, I do.
Or no, I'm sorry, not that one. It was Austin Powers, he's the man for
he's
you.
He's the man. Do.
Yes, you remember that one?
I do.
So in my head, it's Austin Powers, he's the man for you. And I just, I need to tell someone.
Cute.
Go on.
I like that. It's cute. Good fade. Good remix.
Okay.
It works for me. So how can you use this, right? You can use this in a few different ways. Say you're trying to manifest something. Say you're wanting to launch something, or you're trying to like really get something off the ground or believe in something and kind of put it into the world. This could be a good day to do that on eclipse day because it's getting a whole bunch of like kapow fucking power shot at it, to use it, use that power in that way. So this is also a very, a good time. Charge your tools under the eclipse, set everybody out, set your stones out, your tools out, whatever you like to charge. You can set them out and get some pretty spicy, interesting energy going all at them from the eclipse. You can charge your decks, all kinds of shit coming on out of there. Give them some eclipse magic. And this can also be a really emotional time. Eclipse energy in general can just be very volatile. So if you are very sensitive to at like celestial body energy, this might be a day you just try to get through without having a few meltdowns, you know, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, like if you are sensitive to that, and some people really, really, really are, it's okay. Just take it easy that day, you know, because it's a lot. There's a lot going on that day, and apparently, so I
like not even just like the energy that you're going to feel celestially. Like you're going to be picking up on everybody else's energy that day.
There's a lot of people. Wild. If you live in a zone, there's a lot of people coming. It's a big in mass. It's a big mass thing happening. A lot of energy accruing and building.
It's already making noises, but in a good way.
Yes. It's cool. It's exciting, but it's like, at the same time. And so just know you might feel different ways. Maybe it'd be a good day to ground. Everybody could probably benefit grounding on eclipse day. Can't hurt. Take a little grounding, little moment, especially the closer. I don't know if it really matters the closer you are, if you know, because like no matter what, the sun and the moon are still doing this over the earth.
You're still on
if
the
you
earth.
Don't see it, I don't see how that matters. I feel like it still matters. Right. But like take a grounding session and try not to float away. And don't feel bad if you're feeling floaty, because sometimes Yeah. A fucking eclipse happens and you feel floaty.
Sometimes you need to feel a little floaty, you know?
Sometimes it will be a little floaty.
Sometimes you need to put your feet in the dirt.
But no fear, guys. Texas Monthly published an astrology article about how the eclipse is going to affect the zodiacs, right? Okay, so it's...
I'm going to need...
I had clarification
from our... The astrologers out there that we... Or the astronomers out there that we... Astrologers. The ones we trust. I'm talking Amber, Teresa. You know who you are. Like, I need to hear from you guys. See if this is accurate.
So...
I don't trust Texas Monthly.
I know. It cracked me up, dude. Texas Monthly? So I only got Leo and Aquarius. Okay. I wanted to do them all, but they're kind of long. They're all like healthy paragraphs. So like, we'd be here we all day if we were reading them all. We'll put it in the notes. You can go read your zodiac sign on Texas Monthly. How the eclipse will affect you. Now, just a couple fun excerpts from this article here. So eclipses are, here we go. Astrologically, eclipses predict fated encounters, chaotic disruptions, and loads of excitement in our lives. Eclipses are like a live wire that can electrify a moment and give us the charge we need to move forward or shock us out of a funk.
Okay.
This eclipse will happen in the sign of Aries, meaning your paths will be cleared so you can charge ahead with a dream, a vision, and a sense of who you are. So,
listen, I don't mean to be stereotypical, but an eclipse in Aries freaks me out a little bit.
I was very curious to see. I was like, who's going to be what's because I figured I'm learning. I was like, I know this has got to be happening in a sign somehow. I don't even really understand how that works, but I know this eclipse has to be in something. I just know it. And then I saw Aries and I was like, ooh.
Interesting.
That's why I keep saying spicy, because I just feel like this eclipse is like, boom, take it.
Yeah.
And it's pretty cool. So here we go. Are you ready, dude? I have Leo. How are our Leos out there going to be affected?
And you're a Leo rising. Also, so this
I am a Leo rising. So this kind of rolls with me here. You love to shine as brightly as the sun, which makes an eclipse particularly powerful for you. Look at the way the sun is being covered and remind yourself that sometimes you too need to take a break from the spotlight and perhaps ask for someone to give you a big hug. Don't be afraid to seek help if you've been feeling that your luminescence has dimmed a bit or if your life has seemed to have a few more clouds lately. People want to help you.
Oh.
And this eclipse is going to remind you that your light shines even more brightly when you have someone there to guide you.
Well, there's a lot of that that's sweet, you know. That's
nice.
Good-natured.
Although it was a fluffy article.
I was going to say, I feel like that's written by somebody who doesn't quite understand the depth and complexity. That feels like, you know, when you look at the things and it's like, Leo's narcissist. Aquarius's weirdos. And like, that's it, you know?
It reminds me of the beginning
Scorpios
of Good Omens
murderers.
When it's in Good Omens, when it reads the like astrology for the Libra column for the Earth that day. And it's like, you're prone to a stomach upset later this afternoon. So avoid salads. Like this is what it feels like to me. It's just very, they're just saying,
but that's not me shitting. You know, that, you know what?
No.
That could
be
watered
Texas
down for people
Monthly,
to eat it, you know?
Texas Monthly wrote an article about it, so it could be worse. They could boycott
Texas
an article
Monthly
about astrology.
Could have written an article about a lot of things, and I'm glad
anything
they chose this. So
that they chose this, Aquarius. Here we go. Okay, I haven't read this, so I don't even know. I've saved it for me.
Great.
For us. So the eclipse is giving you an opportunity to unpack, reorganize, and get rid of anything in your life that no longer serves you. Throughout 2024, you've been analyzing your values and learning what makes you unique. If there are people you're holding on to that don't fit within the vision board you're creating, it's time to find a better place for them. Let your compassionate and humanitarian instincts lead the way as you are making these decisions. Unkind words and conflict can spring up wherever we are making decisions as big as what does or doesn't belong in our life. So make sure to treat every conversation and person with care. So that's, you don't need to tell an Aquarius how to cut someone off. We know.
Right.
I'm really, I don't feel like I needed to be told, like, oh, you might need to declutter your people. What fucking people? Declutter people for, that's what I do as an Aquarius.
Sport.
As an Aquarian. Yeah. What?
But again, good natured. Good
but
intent.
It told me to be nice about it. So right. It's not like I can declutter people and be like, goodbye. I have
yes.
to like
yeah, you have
communicate
to, yeah.
with them. Which I have decluttered. Like when I was like in my younger years, I decluttered people with no words. I would just disappear into the ether. Big time guilty of that. I hate that I did it, but I did it.
You know like, what?
That was my method. I didn't have the emotional intelligence to communicate. I just disappeared.
Sometimes we grow as people. And we look at the things we've yes. done and we go, oh. So anyway,
yeah.
there's that. Yeah. I'm interested to see what everyone else thinks of theirs. This is absolutely no hate to the person who wrote this at all. This is not us making fun of them.
No,
or anything
again, like I'm more pleased than anything. I'm just giggly because the last source I expected was a Texas Monthly article on astrology. Yeah. It just cracks
me
up.
Go read yours. We'll have it in the thingy dingy.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Tell me. What are you talking about? You've told me.
Remember. No, I am talking about cardinal directions. And mostly, I want to kind of kick off here by saying, this is not like the cardinal direction podcast episode. Like this is specifically kind of an overview of it and how we can use it within our home. Kind of like a beginner, you know, what to do there. And so the directions, obviously, we've got north, south, east, west, which, by the way, do you say north, south, east, west, or do you say north, east, south, west?
North, south, east, west, or north, south, west, east. I think I say north, south, west. Sometimes it's west, east, depending, because that's the order, because I think of we from left to right.
Huh. Weird. Yeah. You are an Aquarius.
Well, it spells out we. It makes a word. So I think
you
north,
did teach
south,
me that.
West, east.
Like, I mean, you did.
Yeah,
you said that once.
Which side they're on. Yeah.
You said that once. And now it's like every time I exit and it's like you can take I-20, you know, west or east. I'm like, I'm going that way. And I know it's weest. It's just easy to think about. A little bit about this. Again, this is very sort of surface level. And this is modern day sort of generalized, and I'm going to get into some of the history about it later. But let's start with north. So north is corresponded to earth. So each one of these is going to have earth, air, water, fire. We'll get to it. Mm-hmm. Then there is a fifth one that some people call center. And that is like sort of spirit, the spirit element. Yeah. And we will briefly touch on that. I feel like... That's a very personal decision about if you want to include that in this and what it means to you. And everything I saw, it wasn't very, like, center is this specific spot, and green and blue are its colors. It wasn't very specific. It was just sort of like, what do you think spirit is? You're right. Mm. So we'll get
there. Okay.
But east, so I'm sorry, north. We've got north is the direction. Of earth, and it is linked to concepts such as fertility. We have things like manifestation, the physical realm, money, all of that base stuff that we think of when we think of the earth. Stability, prosperity. In tarot, earth is related to coins, or I believe sometimes coins is also pentacles. So northeast, east is the direction of air. And that is all about freshness, communication. Macy, you're an air sign. We've got, what is it, intelligence and ideas, clarity. And it is the suit of swords. South is the direction of fire. And this is my particularly favorite one that I can't ever forget, because I'm like, of course, South is fire. It's like, it's the devil. It's so fucking metal.
You're thinking of the devil.
It's from hell. But South is fire. It's all about everything you think of when you think of fire and fire representation, transformation, quickness, swiftness, change, transformation, and passion. And it is associated with rods. Or I think I've also seen rods referred to as wands sometimes, but depends on the deck you're using and whatnot. And lastly, we have west. West is the direction of water. So it's all about emotions. It's all about how we feel about things. It's about depth and moving slowly and the moon and intuition and the inside and the mysterious. And that is the cup. I mean, the suit of cups.
Yeah. That makes sense. You got to put water in a cup.
Yeah, you got to put water in a cup. You ain't going to do with a cup. You can put some water in it. So
you put water in it.
I've got history about how different places and times would use the directions in less of like a, we have to map out our surroundings in a very real world way, but more of like a, how can we make this about God kind of way. So the Greeks, we have I'm so sorry. The Greek philosopher Empedocles.
I don't know. I'm not reading it. I have no clue.
E-M-P-E-D-O-C-L-E-S is often credited with being the first person within Greek philosophy to assign the four elements to something. And this is said to have happened around the 5th century BCE. Before Christ, even.
And a long time ago.
They were as follows. North was stability, materialistic things. Air was east, so I believe that's the same. Yeah, air was east, so that's intellect, communication, changeability. Fire was south, energy, passion. Water was west, emotions and fluidity and intuition. So not much of a change as we see. A lot of the stuff that we do here in the West particularly has remained sort of similar to like the Greeks and then the Romans. And there hasn't been, like, we fall under that direct evolution of that. So I'm not really surprised to see the difference there. The Egyptians, however, were really super into the cardinal directions. That was important. And as with all of just about everything within Egyptian history, very, very especially important in your religious and your funeral practices. They loved...
God, that funeral practice,
they loved a funeral practice. So, the north was associated with the Nile River, which in itself was associated with fertility and rebirth. The east was linked to the rising sun. So, new beginnings, a new day, new cycles of life, different periods of your life, like the beginning... South represented power and the path of the sun at its pentacle, at its high, you know, its highest. West was death and the afterlife due to the sun setting. And that's when things would end their journey. And that's the journey to the underworld. You know, as the sun would sink below the ground, it wasn't going behind the earth. It was dipping into the underworld itself. So... West was that way. We have the feng shui traditions. We had something a little different. We had the five elements, which is wood, fire, earth, metal, water. So different than what we have.
Oh, that's cool.
So the north was water, black and blue, and it was about your career and your life path. East was wood. And I'm saying was, it still is, forgive me for that. I think I have a hard time because I'm like, this is different from what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I'm an ignorant person.
Yeah.
But this is also not me being like, hey, this is how other people do it. Just grab one you like and just take it for your own. Other examples. A lot of people listen to the show and I don't know what your background is. And hey, please tell me if you go to the feng shui thing, because I always have found that very fascinating, a very like untapped way of looking at like energy and the way that it flows. So I'm very interested in it. But let's see, the east is wood and green and family and health. The south is fire. Why is the south always fire? The south is fire. It's about red and passion and flame. West is metal. And it's white and silver, and it represents children, creativity, and joy. And then we have, lastly, center, which was earth, the color yellow, balance, stability, and health. So over here in the west, we fall kind of into a mix between of, again, that Greek and Roman and eventually European stuff. And then we have indigenous people. And at first I was seeing a lot of like, you know, that thing that happens when you're doing research on something and it's like the indigenous people thought this, period. And it's like, but who? I know there's more than just it's your homogenous, very... like, like, so here I wanted to go into a little bit of a deeper dive here. We have Navajo, and north was associated with winter and night and the color blue, which seems pretty different than what we've seen. It's also connected to earth, which we have seen. East is all about spring and new beginnings, so kind of the same thing as we've seen through other parts. It's not hard to draw that connection between the new sun being about beginnings and new things. And then the setting sun, again, here it's autumn, black, winter, death, intuition, kind of that water vibe. We also have Cherokee people associate north with cold, night, the color blue, the ancestors. East is dawn, renewal. South is warmth and the color red. And it doesn't specifically say fire, but that sounds a lot like fire to me. So I feel like south has really worked its way into having just, it's all about, which I guess if you're looking at it and you're looking at a fire, it does kind of come up, like it comes from the ground. That's, I don't know, I just always like to try to piece together how things are similar.
The why.
Through different cultures, you know, like that may not have ever had the chance to talk or interact with each other, but how are they the same?
But have these similar themes,
Let's see, that kind of puts me on to the spirit direction, which is not touched on a whole lot outside of the... I want to say like the more modern use of the cardinal directions. I didn't see spirit in a lot. You did see it there in like Chinese traditions, but that was really the only one that popped out. And a lot of modern day associations with spirit being the center of your home. So if you're, which we'll get into later, if you're doing the thing where you go through and you go to the each direction of your house to set up your wards or cast a circle or whatever, the center would be the exact center between your four points. And it's about spirit. It's about connecting with spirit. I saw ancestors. I saw the color yellow being huge for that, which again ties into the feng shui color association that it had. I couldn't find a lot on it. And I want to expand my knowledge on that because everything I saw was just sort of like, it's ghosts, put it in the middle. And I'm fine with that.
Okay.
I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, sure. I feel like if we ever do more of a deeper like episode about talking about this kind of stuff, how you use it outside of just like your home and what to do inside your house, then maybe go into it. Yeah. But at this point, I don't feel like there's enough out there that I saw to really give it, to really like put it into your hands and be like, here, do with it what you will. I like it for myself.
Yeah.
I think that this, I would be interested to know the center of my house just for like my own knowledge. And I think for me, it would be representing of like, all the four points coming together and working together. And like, hey, if it's not like in my toilet or like in a really inaccessible spot, maybe that's where I'll like cast a circle. Maybe I'll like set up a little altar there to like the four, because I've always liked working with four elements. Going back to the early episodes, we talked about, you know, whenever you're doing something, whether it's taking a shower, right here, us talking, like challenge yourself to be like, how am I incorporating the elements right now. You know what I mean? So like us talking, I'm like air, we're speaking. Heat, we have our like little ring lights with us, and that's the only, you know, and it's silly, you know, but earth, I'm surrounded by rocks and things, and it's like I've got my little, you know, I don't want to call it a fidget, it's my little mandala, but it is a little, you know, fidget that I like to keep grounded, and sometimes I feel my mouth running off away from me and I'm like, do your thing, Charlie. But like,
oh, your mom.
You know, and just kind of, even if all you really are doing with that information is tying it back to being grateful, that is something that working with the elements, and I guess through that also the directions with the tie to the elements that they have, that is something that has always been, it's a good purpose for it for me, is finding the gratitude in it. When I'm taking a shower, I'm like, hey, I've got running water. And it's hot? Are you kidding me? And there's pipes that take it away from me? Are you serious? You know, if I woke up in the middle of the night and had to go shit in an outhouse, I wouldn't do it. I would chamber pot it up, baby.
I think that's why there were chamber pots. Glad. I mean, I don't know. I think if the option was to either go to an outhouse or shit in a pot in my room I'm in, I think I'm going to get up and go to the outhouse.
I think I might move it out of like...
I'll
piss in a pot all day long. I'll do that right now.
Yeah. I mean, come on. That's easy. But like, I think I'd make the walk.
Dude, if I had like a Schlanger, I'd like pee in bottles on road trips and everything.
I mean, I can't imagine how easy.
Amazing. I remember one time you were stuck in traffic and you were writing me. You were like, I'm going to actually have to jump out of the car and pee.
Well, I was stuck in traffic once for 2.5 hours and I have interstitial cystitis. So those two things together don't mix. And this is before I kind of nailed down how to work with that too. And so I remember right about the time traffic opened, like I had my big wide mouth bottle and I was ready. Yeah. I was just like, I'm going to give it about 5 more minutes or something's going to rupture.
Right.
And I'm going to die. But one of those two things, and I'm going to, and then like traffic started opening and that just kicked me into another gear because I was only like 10 minutes from home.
Right.
I was so close, but he was like, you couldn't move. You couldn't escape.
Yeah.
And it was after that was when you bought me the Shiwis. At this point, I keep them in my car just in case.
Yeah.
Should that ever happen again.
Yeah.
It was a hell of a lot easier. Like,
this is awful. Everyone knows what it feels like to have to pee really bad. You know what I mean? And then being in that spot where you can't.
Escape.
Yeah. I was like, and I love those. They're the little bags with the stuff that if you pee in it, it turns your pee basically into like a slushy solid. And then you just chunk it in the trash can. It's gross, but I love it.
I didn't know that. I've never opened the box. I just keep it there in my glove box. And I know that's what it is.
But listen, I needed you to have a pee bag if you needed a pee bag.
I'm glad I do.
All right. Let's see. Where am I? We're going to talk about how do you... Who gives a fuck about the directions? Like, who cares? You know, like, what do you... What does that mean to me, Charlie? Well, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
Some things you can do with this information. A, be grateful, punk. Just think about it. Think about the way that you associate these elements like we just talked
about.
Just
think about it.
Just think about it, punk. Just sit down and meditate on it for a while, you little bitch.
Uh-huh.
No.
Sit down, little
bitch. Little bitch. Miumbo. you can set up your altar. This was like my first real... exposure to working with the directions because I was reading from books that were like, now when you set up an altar, here's the things you have to have. And I feel like that really actually influenced, what was it, the second or third episode we did. I remember I talked about altars and I remember being like,
that rings a bell.
Here's what you need. You need a bell and you need a chalice and, you know, and of course, we've learned since then that you don't have to. And I think we even said that at the time. We were like, you don't really, you can. And here's what the symbolism behind it means, right?
It's what you like.
It's what you
I
like.
Do. I generally do an element. If I'm going to set an altar up, it usually does incorporate the elements.
Yeah.
It will have all the elements.
Mine
I do
too.
An elemental offer, altar, generally. Yeah.
But since a few years back, kind of learning the directions that were tied to the elements, I always do kind of set out my earth is here.
Yes.
I'll do my incense
split
here.
Split them up in there.
I'll do, my candles here at the bottom and, you know, water's over here. And it just kind of ties it better together. But if you want to, you can set up your altar and arrange your sacred space in alignment with these cardinal directions. So you can place corresponding tools or symbols, representations of the elements in their respective directions. So, example, earth-related items, your stones, your crystals, your soil, placed in the north. This can change, really honestly, debating on whatever. Like, you can whip out your little phone, go to your little map app, or get the, a compass, or get a real fucking compass.
Map app.
I don't care, map app. And you can find north.
Map
like,
app.
I know that if I'm sitting here, this is north, this way, right? But only because I've looked it up. But honestly, if I was setting up an altar, I might just say north is up, you know? If you feel okay with that, which I do, fine. But you can also put your air-related items, incense, feathers, bells, to the east, fire-related, to the south, or to the front, and your water-related items, your chalice, or your beach items, your sand, your seashell, your water vessel.
Beach items. That's exciting.
You can also incorporate these when you cast your circle. Now, if I am going through the trouble to actually cast a circle, and I mean like in a big way, not just like a, I'm going to like cleanse the room before I do a little bit of work.
No,
like if I'm doing a circle.
The big one.
Yeah. I'm finding north and I'm sticking all of these things in the way. And the way that I've had it before was just different colored candles. Like my green candle was earth. It doesn't have to be a mound of soil or crystals. You can incorporate this into your daily practice of, this is what I was ranting about earlier, of just acknowledging these directions and staying connected to their energies. You know, maybe you don't want to think necessarily about north being soil, but instead north is stability. So maybe the north side of your house is where you keep your money bowl or the things that make you feel stable and grounded in life. And the east side of your house, maybe you set up a little altar to, sure, water can have its place there, but you're setting up, that's your emotional, maybe it's your, maybe it's like your get ready station, you know, and it's very, your time for you and kind of sit and think deep thoughts and, you know, just kind of tie it in how you want to. It's also incorporation into meditation can help focus you on the cardinal directions associated with elements, so you can attune to your elemental energies, especially if you are an elemental person or if you work with elementals, you know, like you do kind of on your land, and to kind of tap into their energy and foster that balance and that harmony. If you aren't necessarily big on daily practices, say you do just have the big one every once in a while, you can think of the directions more of a seasonal time. So north would be winter, east is spring, south is summer, and west is autumn. And that's just what I saw over and over and over again. However, tapping into history and like what people have thought through time, I might associate for myself west as winter, you know, because I'm like, instead of west being autumn, I'm like, west is like the death, you know, whereas east might be
the
birth.
The sun sets
right?
in the west. Yeah,
not necessarily having to do the things in the way that people, you know, say that you have to do. I'm sorry. I try to turn my camera off when my nose gets sick.
No, it's okay. I've been hit by the yawns and I keep feeling yawns coming in.
I keep almost catching them too, and now we're talking about it. I can feel them.
Once they set in for me, like once the yawns begin, I always struggle to, unless I get up and move around, they linger.
Yawny egg, a yawny steam. Yawny. And lastly, I am wrapping up here, we have directional tarot spreads. You can create a tarot spread or any kind of divinational layout based on these cardinal directions and their associated qualities. And doing this can provide you with deeper insight into specific areas of your life that you might have questions about. You can draw upon elemental symbolism to kind of get intuitive, inherent answers about the things that you're wondering about. So love life, we're looking to the west. If we're school and reading and more like of an intelligente kind of thing, we're looking to the east. You know, if we're fucking firing, we're ready to, let's go, we're looking to the south, right? Mm. So, all of that to say, I had such a good lead in. I had such a good lead in to roll the bean footage, and it just, it evaporated.
I watched it leave your head. I had it. I was so dim, like a machine that had been turned off. Like I saw it.
Like happen. When the screen of the TV like sucks to the middle. Meow.
Yeah, it's just you were just like you were saying it and then just. And then just froze.
Yeah, I feel like I just, I lobotomied myself right there. I'm rolling the beautiful bean footage. Here we go.
Hey, hell yeah.
This one comes from, let me make sure that I have their name correct. This comes from Earth Witch. And this is called The Goat.
Wow.
This, do you know what that means? Do you know what that means, Mesa? Are you hip?
I know what it means.
This
pun. I will say it took me a long time to learn it. I didn't know what that meant until like the fucking Eminem MGK rap battle back from like 2017. Oh, wow.
Well, that's not too bad. Yeah. I think that's about what are you talking about? This podcast.
Yeah.
Here, lay back and be complimented by Earth Witch. You ready? This podcast.
Oh,
breathes,
I'm not good at that.
I know. Breathes life into me at a very difficult time in my life. I came across it when I needed it most. And it's pushing me to dive into my craft and accept myself as I am. Charlie and Macy are absolutely the greatest. They feel like long-lost friends, sisters, who I've been searching for my entire life. Thank you for making a truly amazing podcast. Thank you, Earth Witch. Sorry we're bad at taking care of me.
We're not good at it. I'm honestly better at taking criticism than compliments. And I don't
Not me. It's true. I'm not good at either. I will cry for both.
Yeah. It makes my eyes water. My eyes are watering after that. But like not because I'm touched, just because I don't know how to accept praise. I mean, I'm touched, but it's not like I'm not like, oh gosh, like emotional. It's just because my eyes are like, ha, 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 panic.
Yeah.
And they do. And they just, they spit water.
I would like to not be perceived. No, but thank you guys very, 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 very much.
Thank you much for your reviews. They help us.
They really do.
A lot. In rankings, searches, things like that. We are fortunate enough to have a pretty slam bang rating because of you guys.
You know?
Do it, please. Y'all, word of mouth is the best thing that there is. So if you've got somebody that you think would like us, even if it's just the spooky sodes that are the gateway drug, give it, even if you just got some friends and just they are for a lot of people. There's a lot of listeners that like, I've listened to us for years and have only listened to like spooky sodes. And listen, I get that. That's okay. So like to have somebody listen. Also, we are both teaching classes at Anahata's Purpose.
Are we officially announcing?
We are officially announcing that not only are we going and doing a co-live show with two Geminis and Leo again, which honestly cannot wait to bring that energy back. Yeah. We're teaching some classes there. So it's all happening again.
Yes.
And I fucking cannot wait. Mm-hmm.
Stoked. We can't go into super detail about our classes. Can we give a basic over?
I want to know what you're teaching. What are you teaching?
I'm going to be doing a divination instructional. Now, I don't have a cool, super cool name for it yet, but I will. Coming in the works. I'm going to be doing fire gazing, and I want to walk whoever decides to come through the class. I want to walk you through the process of it. Maybe we'll talk history. I plan on having a little candle for everybody and doing a group reading perhaps. And I haven't put everything about the class together, but the main thing is going to be divination through fire. And I am extremely pumped because that's like my favorite fucking thing to do.
That's your bread and butter, bitch. Yeah, no, tell me about love you. That. I'm teaching a yogic philosophy class. We're going to be talking about the three bodies and the five sheaths, which was, I really wanted to talk on that because it's one of the first elements of yogic philosophy, like in studying it, that kind of helped crack the like Western kind of depiction of what yoga is as being so simplified here, and kind of like getting into the energetic and spiritual components of it. And it really, it's just a really great topic to kind of marry all of what's going on together when we practice yoga, physically or not, just yoga as a whole, what's going on and what we're focusing on. We're going to have some Sanskrit practice and kind of some say and call back and feeling it on the tongue and all of that. I can't wait for it. I think it's going to be a super amount of fun. It's going to be very, I want to try to make it interactive. It'll be lecture based, but I want to try to make it interactive and as much as possible.
Which is a good time. Last time you did a class, I don't want to say last year because we did take a break last year, but I guess so. Not only are we announcing that we're going, yes, but we are also teaching. Yeah. But the last time you did a class there, you did a more physical instructional, like a yoga class, whereas this is going to be.
And the rune class, because that was more involved too, because everybody, you know, we all hit the tables and all of that. So this one will be kind of like that, the rune class, I suppose. There's going to be a good long just kind of explanation about it, but keep everybody engaged with kind of talking through the, you know, saying the words in Sanskrit and just kind of talking through. I hopefully will have a visual, like a pad or a whiteboard, something like that, to kind of demonstrate and show. I can't fucking wait, dude.
I want a whiteboard. I want to make that. Okay, listen, one of my first like ASMR experiences. And I don't think they even have these in classes anymore because I think, you know, but whatever. But the whiteboard and those big fat fucking like expo markers and the teacher would write. And every once in a while, you would get the one that was like really fucky on the, you know, you would write, they would write and it would be like, doo, 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 doo.
It's like new.
Just sit there and like look at it and be like, why is no one going to sleep with me?
Yeah. You're a future ASMR listener in the making.
And what's funny is there is a string there because I have heard from a lot of people who do appreciate it, who do like it, being like, whenever they brought out the overhead in school, I like immediately tapped out. And I was like,
get it.
But Anahata's purpose. Keep your eye out for purpose.
Yeah.
Did I say Anahata's purpose? Or did I say like purpose?
I think you said.
I don't know.
Well, it is the porpoise. It's the porpoise. Tickets are out. You can go give them a look. But it's not. It won't be long now.
Yeah.
It'll be here before we know it.
Yeah.
It's already fucking April.
And there's going to be some cool classes that we are sworn to not talk about. But oh, baby.
I'm so excited.
Oh, baby.
Yeah, get ready. Fucking get lit. I'm so ready. Lit. So anyway, just
bean
wanted to
can.
Announce that.
Bean can. Oh, also, there bean will be a link. We'll link the WBAH, like, X Anahata group. Down below. So that
we'll link that because if you've got questions, join it.
Yes.
That's the spot to ask your questions.
Yeah.
There's
experts. This is not
our,
we're not weird. We don't put the shindig on. You know,
we don't know dick shit. We show up. We show up when we're told to show up and we have a great time.
And we eat that delicious fucking food.
Food.
I'm so
So anyway, guys, check that out.
Yeah, that's it.
That's Anahata's.
Yeah.
And that's all that I have.
That's all I have.
That's all I have.
Let's get out of here. We've got our live in an hour.